Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a new podcast experiment in which I, Alexander Bennett, and Andy Barr...
Hello, I'm here.
...have been cloning ourselves, and those clones have had 24 hours to learn three things.
Three things about the world.
Yeah.
Three things that exist
yes.
in the world or pertain to the world. And we have invited two guest comedians. Alexander, what are those two guest comedians here to do?
Those two guest comedians, which in this instance are the brilliant Ahir Shah and Lulu Popplewell, they have to use the three things that the clones know about to explain a whole range of other things.
A myriad of other things.
Yes, so they have to explain those things, building on the limited knowledge that they already have. The three things that the clones know about in this part of the experiment are mariachi bands, King Herod, and the Teletubbies.
Which I think that you will agree is pretty much all that is required.
Absolutely.
You put a boy out into the world, you send him out there, you say, here's the things, the mariachi band, King Herod, Teletubbies. That lad's prepared to go, ready to go. Make his fortune.
Did you, speaking of Herod, did you play any part in the nativity story when you were a child, Andy?
I had parts in two end-of-year plays at primary school. I was a camel.
Smashing.
In the sort of Christian nativity story in year five. And in year six, I played a monk in a sort of Robin Hood thing. My chief memory of that is in rehearsals, Tim Burrows fainted.
Excitement, exhaustion, fear?
He was unclear.
Okay.
I think possibly fear, but he was also one of the cooler lads. So one would have presumed that he wouldn't have experienced fear and faced up to everything as a 10 or 11-year-old boy with a... a real gumption and bravery.
So I was never in school in any kind of staged production of the nativity story, speaking of King Herod. But I was, as a late teenager, in a production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
The train? That's not in that Starlight Express.
Easily confused. Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar and Jesus the Starlight Express.
Jesus the train comes skating onto the ice or whatever fucking goes on in any of those productions. I don't know. I hate Andrew Lloyd Webber and I would shoot him if I had the chance.
I was in a rare production.
Were you the train?
Starlight Express.
I was the train with a gun.
We didn't really have the space in our school
to have the train.
So we chose to do Jesus Christ Superstar instead. But upon doing that...
Well, I mean, it seems like sacrilege to cut the train out.
Yeah. You can't do Starlight Express without the train.
Or Jesus Christ Superstar without the train, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
That's what Pilot was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pontius Pilot, the train.
Yeah. A big train comes through. Yeah. My favourite bit of Jesus Christ Superstar is when the Roman guards ask the train if they know where Jesus is, and the train denies it three times.
Yeah, poops his horn.
Yeah, he poops his horn.
Poops his fucking horn, then ploughs through the Garden of Gethsemane.
That's the best bit of the train in Jesus Christ Superstar.
I love it in Cats, when they're doing their dance on the railroad. The railroad cat, I can't remember his fucking name.
No, neither can I.
Scribbleshanks?
Oh, yeah, that might be it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, nobody needs to remember it. Because it gets iced by the train within a second.
It just gets ploughed through by the train.
What other works has Andrew?
Well, my favourite bit of Phantom of the Opera is when the Phantom causes a problem in the theatre and a train actually... falls down onto the audience.
Bursts from the royal box.
Yeah. Plays down onto the unsuspecting punters below.
Yeah. I mean, it does make staging quite difficult for amateur productions.
Yeah. But listen, if the show's nothing without the train.
No. The train makes it.
The train makes it. Yeah. And the best bit of Love Never Dies is... which
Andy, what the fuck is that?
It's the sequel to the Phantom of the Opera. Yes, and it's set in a carnival.
Yeah.
And
love gets killed by the train. It's an intercity.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favourite part of Jerusalem is when fucking Rylance's character gets fucking iced by a train. My favourite part of Sarah Kane's Blaster is when all of the characters admit that they hate the war in Kosovo or whatever the fuck is going on, and then three trains come from every direction, smash in the middle.
There's a famous bit in Evita where a train descends on Evita. She's going up stage. Falls out of the...
It actually whacks her into the audience. Amazing bit of staging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then falls into the pit itself.
You know the mousetrap?
Yeah.
The train did it.
The trap is the mouse gets cornered within a sort of... within some sort of cage. And then the engine of a train just rams in. Smashes a bit.
You know the Harry Potter plays?
I think by now it should be fairly clear that I'm unfamiliar with theatre.
Okay. Well, I am. You know the Harry Potter plays?
Yeah.
The end of that... Spoiler alert for anyone going to see it.
Yeah.
the end
the
of
The Basilisk, actually, in the second one, is a train.
Have you ever seen Chicago?
No, I haven't, no.
Mainly about the train network. Have you ever seen The Lion King? Okay. It's about a lion cub.
Yeah.
Who's
oh, no, I have seen that, actually. It's set around Clapham Junction.
Yeah.
There's a cliff above Clapham Junction. And and the lion cub's uncle pops his dad down.
Yeah.
And then the 6:15 from Reading... From Reading, absolutely ice is that cunt. After which, he goes on a journey of discovery.
Have you ever seen Wicked? So Wicked's really interesting because it's a prequel to the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And it's about the Wicked Witch of the West.
Great Western.
Sort of... her sort of journey to become the person that she is, and it gives a lot of sort of empathy for that character. It's a really interesting setup for The Wizard of Oz, and you look at her differently when you watch The Wizard of Oz, particularly the end where she gets hit by a train.
Have you ever seen Les Miserables?
No, what happens in Les Miserables?
Well, these cunts erect some barricades. Right. But unfortunately, they've done it on a train line. And the TGV bashes through. And then that's the end of the Paris Commune.
Have you ever seen Mamma Mia?
Yes, mad how they get the train on the islands.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. You would have thought they'd thought it through. Yeah. Have you ever seen the stage production of Beauty and the Beast? It's a woman gets imprisoned in a palace by a train. And she sort of has to sort of find the better half of the train.
Buffet car.
Have you ever seen Rent?
No. Train gets AIDS. Okay.
Oh, dear. Have you ever seen Mary Poppins?
No.
When it's about a man who hires a nanny. And the nanny comes in, and she's very stern, very strict.
But
appears to have magical powers, and the children are intrigued by her. And she, for example, in one scene, she starts getting things out of her bag, and she sort of takes an umbrella out of her bag, and they go, that umbrella is way too big to take in that tiny bag.
Yeah.
And then she takes, you know, an extremely long walking stick out of a bag, and they go, that walking stick's way too long to take out the bag.
I'm trying to remember this scene, I think.
Then a train fucking blows out the back straight through the kids.
And then after which, it takes a great deal more than a spoonful of sugar to bring them back to life.
Have you ever seen Annie?
No.
It's shit. Have you ever seen Cabaret?
I'm so hot. I'm so incredibly hot, Alexander. I really need this to end.
Yeah, I know. When you were very young, Andy, did you watch the Teletubbies?
I did. I was too old for the Teletubbies when they initially came out, but my mother was a childminder, so they were on. Because after a certain point, as much as you might want to keep children in the 90s stimulated with, you know, blocks, wooden toys, after a certain point, if you've got to prepare their lunch, it becomes impossible. So you've got to put the telly on.
Yeah.
And the telly in 1996, 1997, let me tell you, that was displaying the Teletubbies.
Yeah.
So we put that on and... me and my dad, at that time, I would have been, what, 7, 8? Me and dad, you know, we had an understanding. We went, this stuff's for babies.
Yes.
This stuff's for fucking babies. Who likes this shit?
Wimps.
Yeah. So me and dad, we'd take the piss out of it together. We'd be like, what's this Teletubbies crap?
Yeah.
Then we'd go down to the seafront.
Right.
And he'd brought me a fisherman's catapult.
Oh.
And we'd find some cans.
Yes.
We'd array them on a groin.
Right.
We'd shoot stones at them.
Right.
Whilst mocking the Teletubbies.
That's a wonderful childhood memory of bonding with your father.
Yeah, one of many few. and now that I think about it, doesn't really gel with the Teletubbies in any way whatsoever.
How do you mean it doesn't gel with them?
Well, I mean, they're not really the inciting... factor there.
Well, I'm just using the Teletubbies as a springboard to learn more about you, Andy.
Sure, and I think I've revealed more than I meant to.
I think on the Teletubbies, they should have done an episode where the show in the Teletubbies' stomach was the Teletubbies. And then...
that would fuck up.
And then the show inside that Teletubby, one of the Teletubbies, the show inside that Teletubby should have been the Teletubbies.
Have you read...
and it keeps going. It keeps
David
going.
Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest, in which people become catatonic on account of the ultimate entertainment.
Is it what I've just described?
Well, I think maybe.
Yeah.
I've never read it in full.
Right.
Because it's... problematic to admit that you've read Infinite Jest in full, because that's a real red flag in terms of literatures.
Oh, is it one of those books that... David Foster Wallace is one of those kind of, you read a lot of that.
You mustn't. I've read every single Thomas Pynchon book, but nobody's come for him yet because he's not popular enough.
Yes. We sort of need to stop doing this with assigning a broad personality type to everybody who enjoys the work of a particular author is not necessarily a reasonable way to engage with
anything.
Get
on your soapbox, are you?
Yes. I've met one of the Teletubbies.
Dave Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah. And the guy who invented it was from Liminge, which is a village just very close to Folkestone, where I'm from.
Yeah, it's got a kind
of... He also invented In the Night Garden.
The aesthetics of both In the Night Garden and the Teletubbies are sort of the Kent countryside, really.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it.
A sort of sentient Hoover beneath the surface.
We were always worried about that.
In Kent.
At school, yeah. Sometimes, they'd say, school has to shut today because there has been a leak at a nearby gas plant.
Right.
Ultimately, you'd know.
You'd know that.
No news out.
Yeah.
You've heard about it.
There's whispers.
On the grapevine.
And then, when night fell, Nunu would pick off
those stragglers.
Foolish enough to go to the edge of the village.
We're all foolish enough to go to the graveyard, because that was where we used to drink as teens.
Nunu would be waiting for you.
Yeah.
He'd suck you all off.
Our guests.
No, we can't.
We haven't touched mariachi bands.
Okay.
Or King Herod, to be fair.
Let's do that now. Andy?
Yes?
Have you ever been in a mariachi band?
No.
Me neither.
Right.
Our guests today
have never orchestrated the death of the firstborns, and more credit to them for that. They are Ahir Shah and Lulu Popplewell.
Both fantastic comedians. You can find Ahir Shah on Twitter at Ahir Shah, and you can find Lulu Popplewell on Twitter at @Lulu_Popplewell and Lulu Bird Popplewell on Instagram. Follow them both on all those mediums and go and see the shows they put on.
Please, for goodness sake.
For goodness sake.
Get your eyes on them.
Yes.
Pop your bodies in front of them. Please, my good friends, illustrate the images that we are provoking in front of your eyes via the auditory medium.
Yes, if you would like to draw anything that anybody says in any of the experiments, please do, and send it to us via our email address and our social media. Ahir Shah.
Hello.
And Lulu Popplewell.
Hi.
Thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Mm, not at all. Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, genuinely, really.
In the time that myself and Andy have existed, we have come to know something of the following three things. We've got a working idea of what a mariachi band is.
Mm-hmm.
We are familiar with King Herod.
Yep.
And we sort of know what Teletubbies are.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what we have an understanding of. Mm-hmm. Lulu.
Hey.
Hi there.
Happy birthday for yesterday.
What's a birthday?
The day you were created. So, how Herod goes after the babies? It's the day the babies come out.
Come out of what?
Uh, um, of, of, Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, wait, we're not playing yet, are we?
Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay, I was just doing niceties.
We're not playing at anything. We are desperate, really, to know about all of this stuff. So anything is
I feel
is
as
helpful.
Though this conversation will, at some stage, Lulu, involve one of us using the phrase, because I said so, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah.
And you're entitled to use any phrase that you want. Lulu, we really want to know some more about different people that exist. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind what myself and Andy understand, in 3 minutes, can you tell me who Gandhi is? Your time starting now.
Okay, so you know in the Teletubbies, there's the sun is like the kind of benevolent, kind one. So Gandhi was a pretty benevolent, kind person. Okay, that's the vibe.
Gandhi's like the sun in the Teletubbies.
A little bit, yeah, a little. He's got the qualities of like, but not forget. Wait one sec.
Did he look like a baby?
Maybe
he's sort of, well, a bit.
Yeah, there's hairless. So
hairless.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gandhi was benevolent and hairless.
Yes. And he led people in the same way that Herod led people in that they were both leaders, but of very different kind of ilk and persuasion.
What's ilk?
Well, I thought you had Mastery of the English.
I don't know.
Okay, like
mastery is a very big word to use. What's an ilk?
And I don't even know what
I
it means.
I can't tell if this is the part of the bit or whether you, Alexander Bennett, don't know these words. Okay, what were the other things? Teletubbies, Herod, and
Mariachi Band.
I think the Mariachi Band is fuck all use in this.
Okay, so Gandhi's not like a Mariachi Band, but he is like the baby's son.
He's the baby son, and he's a leader.
A benevolent Herod.
A benevolent Herod.
So he was
kind Herod.
He was a nice Herod.
Yes, but he was very cross.
Gandhi. Yes.
Yes, Gandhi. Gandhi was very cross at people. And you know about people because the mariachi bands are people who were trying to oppress him. Now, and Herod was an oppressor, so he was like the opposite of Herod.
So he was like Herod, but the opposite.
Yeah, but
of
the opposite.
Herod.
Yeah,
he had the leadership qualities of Herod,
but he was more about like letting people free rather than controlling them. And he didn't want to kill the babies. He wanted to stand up. Now, how do I explain the British Empire?
What is the British Empire?
You've got 50 seconds.
Oh, Christ.
Who's that?
well, you know, Herod. we don't have time.
Okay.
So
Gandhi is...
So, who's the nemesis of the Teletubbies?
The nemesis of the Teletubbies.
You know how, like, the Hoover? Nunu, the Hoover, right?
Yes.
Is trying to eat all the tubby custard and steal it from the Teletubbies.
I think Nunu the Hoover is more a sort of appliance. I don't think he steals the tubby custard.
I think when there's too much of it, he gets rid of it.
Yeah, he gets involved, certainly.
Okay. Who's the bad guy in the Teletubbies?
Who's the real villain of the Teletubbies?
Do the Teletubbies enjoy it? You know, sometimes the TV comes on.
They request it happen again. So I think they probably have enjoyed the experience. Okay. Time's up, Lulu.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. So in 3 minutes, you've told us that Gandhi is sort of like a kind, hairless King Herod, not dissimilar to the sun in the Teletubbies.
Also, can I just say, as a British Indian man, you giving that question to Lulu really makes me look forward to what white stuff I'm going to get questioned on.
I really felt that as well. Next on my right, I really felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. We're very appreciative of all the information.
Okay.
Here. Would you be able to explain to me in 3 minutes who or what Father Christmas is or was?
Your time starts now.
So, as we were discussing. As Lulu was discussing, you remember hearing about birthdays, right? The date when babies first come into the world.
When we come out of something.
When we first come out of something. Mm. Right. Now, there was once, so it said, a particularly special baby.
Okay.
And that baby was the one you may remember that King Herod did not like the idea of that baby at all. That was the one that he was after.
Hated it.
But the baby did not die at that point. Spoiler alert, did die later. But, or did he? Right.
Do you want to take this one or shall I?
Why don't you?
What's die?
die is irrelevant for the purposes of what I'm about to say. I'll explain to you what Father Christmas is, and then if we have time, we'll move on to death.
Okay.
You know? So the birthday of the special baby.
Yes.
Right? That's a day called Christmas.
Okay.
And so...
And that's when the special baby comes out of something.
No, it's just you celebrate the birthday every time it comes around. There's something called year.
Okay.
Right? And once every year... Mm-hmm. We celebrate the birthday of the special baby.
Okay.
Right? And we give each other gifts or something you might like, you know? Like you might like.
What something. Like?
Well, like, imagine if you were in a mariachi band.
Yes.
And you didn't have a guitar.
Why would I be in a mariachi band if I didn't own an
instrument? Exactly. You'd be so sad. You wouldn't be able to join. You want to join in, but you can't join in, right? But then imagine I was like, here, I'll give you this guitar. And then you're like, oh, I'm so happy. I really wanted that guitar. And now I can join the mariachi band. That's a gift.
So once every year, whatever that is, people give other people instruments so that they might join mariachi bands.
Sort of, yeah.
Mm.
Is this why Herod wanted to kill the baby?
No, that's not precisely why Herod wanted to kill the baby. Though I think if Herod had been adequately acquainted with mariachi, it may have added motive.
Okay.
Right. And... So,
Father Christmas
is a sort of person like you or me, who doesn't really exist. But we tell when babies get slightly bigger, they turn into something called children.
Okay,
right.
And how much bigger do they get?
Maybe 2x, 4x, you know, like that's the sort of thing. Like, how wide are we talking for a child?
Wide.
yeah, I don't know. Someone's been doing the cabinets today. I'm just thinking in terms of width. When the babies turn into children, they love to get
thanks
gifts.
Very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Ahia. Thank you, Ahia. Andy, would you like to sum up what's been said there?
Yeah, sure. So, Father Christmas is a person who... wanted to kill the special baby, which no, I've got mixed up there.
Yeah, that's Herod. That you're
Herod wanted to kill the special baby. But Father Christmas
is a person who gives gifts on the birthday of the special baby that Herod wanted to kill.
On the special baby's birthday, yeah. And he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And has some relation to the widening process of children.
Thank you, Ahia. Myself and Andy would like to know more about different places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu, in 3 minutes, can you tell me, bearing in mind everything that we've learned so far, what IKEA is? Your time starts now.
Okay, so when people want to get things... We're aware of people and things at this point. Things are just any objects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is not via the process of them being gifted by Father Christmas.
No. They have to pay money.
What's money?
Okay, so you know when the kings bring gifts to baby Jesus, which
special
baby. So you only know about Herod up to the point. You don't know that Herod, you don't know the nativity story.
What's the nativity story?
Okay, we will abandon that because it's not pertinent. But
okay.
What is pertinent?
Don't worry about it.
What's worry?
It's just what I'm feeling right now. I'm trying to explain this.
What's a feeling?
I've actually forgotten what IKEA.
Okay,
so
yeah,
IKEA is it's a big place where people can get things, lots of things that they put in their house. So you know where the Teletubbies spend their time, that kind of underground thing. That's their house. Okay, it's the place where they live.
That's their house.
Yeah, and so people have houses. They look different to the Teletubbies one, but it's where they spend all their time living. And they want to put...
How do they look different to the Teletubbies' house?
They might be a different shape. So they might be squares like the Teletubbies have on their stomachs. But three-dimensional, which I can't explain.
A three-dimensional square.
Yes.
Okay. What's dimensional?
It goes outwards and upwards.
Like a kid gets outwards.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like a wide child. Like a wide child. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And they want to put things in the house to make the house easier to live in. So they go to this big place called IKEA. And IKEA is the place where you can give special coins.
Okay.
Like you'd give to a mariachi band.
Like you'd give to a mariachi band.
Okay.
And I think one of the Teletubbies has a purse.
Okay, thank you so much for helping me.
Yes.
Yes, you give those in exchange for, in return for, just flimsy pieces of crap that you try to build yourself
at
home.
What is crap?
In this context, it's using it to mean something that's not very good, that doesn't work very well. So, for example, the Hoover doesn't work. I keep going back to the Teletubbies, but the Hoover doesn't work very well because it doesn't actually Hoover things up much, does it? So it's about how it functions, how it works.
Lulu, you said that bringing things into a house that it may or may not be like the Teletubbies house, makes it easier to live in. How does things make something easier to live in?
So, for example, if you want to go to sleep, so when they do their tubby bye-byes and the sun goes down, you want to do that, you want to do it somewhere comfortable. So you might buy what's called a bed.
When Gandhi goes down over the hill.
Yes, when the big yellow Gandhi in the sky goes down over the hill. or you might want to put somewhere to keep your bowls for the tubby custard or your your guitar, mariachi. Thank you so much.
So in 3 minutes, you've told us that IKEA is a big place you go to get things that make your house easier to live in.
We've also explored the concept of a house. Which I found useful.
Wide like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And avoided explaining a lot of other topics, which I was very interested in, but hopefully we'll come to those later.
Yeah. We may pick you up on some of those going forward.
I hear. Would you be able to explain to me what a ghost train is?
In 3 minutes, starting now.
Okay. A ghost train. So, right. You know... So in a mariachi band, you know how the mariachi bands will often hop from boat to boat on the canals of Xochimilco?
Yes, right? We are familiar with that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And the canals, obviously, that's wet, it's water, right? But the boats are moving, you know, people get in the boats and the people in the mariachi band, and the boats are moving, right? So a train is sort of like a boat, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of... being on top of the water, canals. Which you can't stand on, it's on ground, which you can stand on, right? Now, so imagine that, like dry boat going forward with the mariachi band, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine everyone in the mariachi band was dead, but you could still see them.
You are going to have to sort of take us through what dead is.
Oh, yeah, I did mention dead earlier, and I did. Okay, so... in this context, dead is sort of the thing that... Yeah, sorry.
What's context?
Yeah. So in terms of what we're talking about right now, the best way to explain dead would probably be... Do you remember before you were a clone, before you were cloned, before you came up?
No, we don't remember before
Exactly. So that's sort of what... So at that point, what you were was dead.
Okay. So we're post-dead now.
Yeah.
And also pre-dead?
I don't know why you're looking to me for help. I cannot help you.
We're post and pre-dead.
Mm. Well, I suppose you're not really post-dead.
We're occupying the space between deaths.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. And actually, that, in a way, is, I suppose, reminiscent of Hindu philosophy.
What is Hindu philosophy?
That's what the big... tell you what the big baby in the sky who
so much
saved India. It's what he believed in. It's sort of why he did.
We didn't even get to India.
Oh right, yeah, we didn't get to India. Right.
Okay, so that's useful. So Gandhi, who's a hairless sun baby, he believed in Hindu philosophy, and that's why he was sort of the opposite of King Herod.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, it's not the worst explanation in the world, I think.
Hmm.
So, okay. So we've got the train part. That's like a boat, but in the dry land.
It's a boat on dry land.
Yeah. And the ghosts, they are things that scare you. It's like imagine something that's not very nice.
King Herod.
Like King Herod. Yes, exactly. But sometimes, like, if you're sort of expecting it, then the shock can be a bit all right, right? You're like, oh, King Herod. But I secretly, I knew that he was.
It's a Herod that you'd enjoy seeing.
Yeah, a Herod that you'd enjoy seeing.
Thank you very much.
Really enjoyed that.
Okay, Andy, I really enjoyed that. I think there's
I think there's a lot of useful info in there that I'm very much looking forward to putting into practice in my life. Mm. So you've explained to me that ghost trains are a form of boat that operates on dry land and is full of a dead mariachi band, and death is a state that bookends one's life. You are dead, you become alive, and then you are dead again, which is
presumably. I'm sorry to interrupt, Andy.
That's absolutely fine.
Presumably, you are dead, and then you come out of something.
Yes,
and are a baby.
Yes, you emerge from. I don't know if you go back into something in order to become dead again. That is not something that's been covered.
But you come out of something, and as you come out of something, you cease being dead.
Yeah. Anyway, this was all a key facet of Hindu philosophy, which motivated the sun baby Gandhi to become the opposite of Herod. And incidentally, something that takes place on a ghost train is a Herod you enjoy appears.
Thank you, Anir. That's very useful information. Nice. One area of life that fascinates myself and Andy is the world of creativity and the world of art. Lulu, in 3 minutes, could you explain to me what the Mission Impossible movies are?
Oh, I haven't seen them.
Your time starts now.
Okay. So the Mission Impossible movies are you aware of movies?
No.
So you know, on the Teletubbies' tummies, that sometimes things come on and appear on the screens.
Yeah.
Movies are long versions of that.
Okay. So you'd watch the Mission Impossible movies on a Teletubbies.
No, it's like the screen is taken out of the tummy, not Does directly.
That hurt the Teletubbies?
imagine the screen separately from the tummy. Okay.
Okay.
It's but the tummy remains in the Teletubby.
What happens to the Teletubby when it has the telly removed?
It's not removed. It's like another one of it, but bigger, very wide, like a child.
Okay.
How is that created? Is it grown? Is it grown?
No, you can buy them in IKEA. You can buy the big screens in IKEA.
Once you take the screen out of a Teletubby, what does the inside of it look like?
Just dust. Which is
dust.
Dust and sand. Which is, you know, King Herod, where he lived in the desert on the floor. It's just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Teletubbies are full of sand.
Yeah. But we need to talk about Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Okay. So a mission. I'm guessing you don't know what that is.
No.
It's when you have something you really want to do. So Herod's mission was to kill the little baby. Okay. The Teletubbies' mission is whatever the sun tells them is going on that day. Mariachi band's mission is to play lovely songs on their guitar and make money for it. Okay. It's what you want to get done.
Yeah.
If something's impossible, it means you can't do it.
Okay.
In theory.
Given that Herod did not succeed in killing the special baby that he wanted to kill, is that featured in one of these films as an impossible mission?
Yes. Yeah, well, no, but you could say that he had his own sort of Mission Impossible. But the films...
And he too had religious beliefs that many others scorned.
Yes. I don't know the films.
So I'm talking about Tom Cruise.
So there's a very little man. In it.
How big compared to a baby of varying size?
Probably about the same size as you. But actually smaller.
Right.
Okay. So what width are we talking about?
The width.
One baby, two
as many as you like, really.
As many as you like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does the width of Tom Cruise depend upon the perception of whoever is perceiving him?
He's as many babies big as you like.
It depends how big the screen is, the thing that you get from IKEA that looks like the tummy of it. So it all kind of comes. And there's guns. Which,
thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lulu.
I think there's guns.
Okay. Yeah.
What's my time? I don't know.
That was really good.
Lulu, okay. In 3 minutes, you've told us that the Mission Impossible movies are things that you can watch on removed Teletubbies stomachs, which are stored in IKEA, and they contain a sort of
a little man.
A little man who fluctuates in size depending on the viewer's feelings. And
there are guns, but we haven't dug into what those are yet.
There are guns, in some way, because Mission is something that you want to do and Impossible is not being able to achieve it, the man of fluctuating size, similarly to King Herod, fails to kill a baby.
I mean, if that's what you've taken from it, I
can't argue. That is what we've taken from it.
To be fair, say what you will about Tom Cruise, I don't think he's ever killed a baby, so I think that's...
We can't know for sure. we just can't know.
Thank you, Lily.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ah, here. Would you be able to tell me in 3 minutes what Of Mice and Men is?
Your time starts now.
Right. Okay. So, Of Mice and Men. Well, okay. There's a phrase. What is the phrase?
What is
best
it?
The best laid plans of mice and men. Right. Okay. There's a phrase, a famous saying, a thing that you might say. That's called the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry.
So, like,
and
Herod's.
That basically means the same as Mission Impossible, right?
So something you want to achieve that you don't.
Yeah,
achieve.
Yeah. You think, and you know, and you really think you're going to be able to achieve it, but you can't. You can't.
So the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry means the same as Mission Impossible.
So yeah basically yes, Of Mice and Men is also the name of a story, which is basically someone imagines something that didn't really happen.
Like Father Christmas.
But like Father Christmas, but to tell other people about it. And it's a story that's set in a place as dusty as the stomach of a Teletubby when the television's taken out.
Okay, so it's set inside a Teletubby.
Yeah, it's set inside a Teletubby. And it's so dusty in there that there's two men... there are no mice, weirdly. No mice.
What are mice?
Whatsoever. They're small things, even smaller than a baby.
Okay. Even smaller than a baby.
What size are the men?
The men are sort of... So one is bigger than the other.
Okay.
Okay.
One is quite a lot bigger than the other.
So we've got mouse, baby, child, man one... Man 2, and at some point along that scale, we also have Tom Cruise.
Yes!
Tom Cruise occupies many points on this.
Yes.
Yeah. It's quantum. We'll get
on to that later. So, Of Mice and Men is a story about two men, one of whom is larger than the other.
Yes.
What do they do?
So, they are trying to get... money, the thing that you use to buy things from IKEA.
Tubby custard.
Yeah, they're trying to get that. But it's very, very hard because the place that they live is just full of dust and things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the smaller man knows a lot of things. Right. And the larger man doesn't really know many things at all. And that makes things quite difficult for them. Okay. But they're best friends, like the two of you, sort of, together.
You've assumed a relationship there.
What are best friends?
Yeah, I would love to explore.
Anything you'd like to sum up in 6 seconds?
What are best friends?
That's what Carl and Lenny, who are the two men in Of Mice and Men, are.
Thank you.
Is that what they're called?
Carl and Lenny.
Carl and Lenny.
That is not what they're called. That's the fucking Simpsons, guys. What are they called in fucking... One of them is called Lenny. I know that much. Oh, Carl and Lenny are also best friends, though. Carl and Lenny are best friends.
Lenny and... We didn't do it, Mice and Men. We did...
Andy, could you sum up what's been said there?
I'm so impressed you didn't go for any, like... Because I couldn't do the British Empire. I thought you really skirted around some difficult issues there.
So, Of Mice and Men is a story, which is something which is made up. Like Father Christmas, about an impossible mission, which is getting money in an extremely dusty place. There are two men who are of differing sizes, one of them larger than the other. He knows very little. The smaller man knows a lot. Their names are
Carl
and Lenny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's some... point during the sort of their relationship, both the size and the knowledge differential between them causes problems.
Yes.
Thank you.
There are no mice.
Thank you. We are keen to know about things that happened before myself and Andy happened. Lulu, in 3 minutes... can you tell me what the Great Fire of London was? Your time starting now.
Yes, I can. So, in the year 1666, so remember I was talking about years, there are periods of time that come around when you celebrate birthdays. At the 1666 one after the baby Jesus. Special baby. The Herod tried to kill, there was a big problem in London.
Was that problem how many mariachi bands existed after that many gift givings?
No, weirdly, that sort of resolved itself independently.
Resolved itself. Yeah, yeah. How did it resolve itself?
It's not, you know what, I'll tell you if we have time later.
Okay.
But what I want to tell you about now is the Great Fire of London.
Okay.
So it was that year, and people were living in houses made, remember houses wide?
Mm. Yes. What shape?
They were the box, what did I say before? Three-dimensional...
You said a square that was flat like a child.
Yes, yeah, square that was flat like a child. But the important thing was they were all made of wood. Now, Guitars are made of wood that the mariachi bands play. So that, that material.
Guitars.
So, yeah, so yeah. They weren't made of guitars, but they were made of the stuff you build guitars with.
What stuff do you build guitars with?
It's called wood.
Okay.
Okay, and it's important because that's what the big 3D wide like a baby houses were made of.
Mm.
So someone was making food. So food is like tubby custard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So was it the machine that?
No, it wasn't. It was a person this time. Not Tom Cruise, just a person, and they
the machine that feeds the Teletubbies and tubby custard. Tom Cruise. It's not Tom Cruise, and it produces it from a sort of valve.
Yeah,
I'm impressed that you know the word valve.
We've seen it on
the Teletubbies. What?
No, they used the word though.
We understood
that it was a valve.
We understood it was a valve. What did the person produce the custard from?
They produced it from flour.
What's flour?
Okay, flour grows in the fields, like the bits of land under the sun in the Teletubbies.
Mm.
It grows plants. You can make flour out of it, and that can make all kinds of food, like bread, which people in mariachi bands eat, presumably.
Okay, so they're always eating
but
bread.
What's important is to make the bread, you have to make it very hot. Hot is the sun in the telly. Keep going back to the sun, right. But yeah. The sun is very hot. That's made of fire. Okay, if you get too close to it, that you get, you'll see that it's fire. They started making the bread with the fire.
How do you see it's fire when you get close to it?
Through believing in yourself. Yeah. And then you...
This is also, I would just say, this is one of the main differences between the sun and Gandhi.
Yeah.
Is that Gandhi is not made of fire. No. Not made whereas of fire. The sun is.
Anyway, thank you. All the wood houses
thank
are...
You.
Thank you, my last 10 seconds is stolen
from
me.
Sorry.
So in 3 minutes, you've explained to us that the Great Fire of London was a big problem. Many in the year 1666. It was a big problem that was caused by someone producing custard in a house made of guitars. And they really believed in themselves.
Yes.
Therefore, the
in
house.
In order to make the fire.
Yes, the house got hot.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
Thank you, Lily.
Whatever how hot was, Gandhi was not it.
No.
I hear. Mm-hmm. Please, in 3 minutes, I'm dying to know what the invention of penicillin was.
Your time starts now.
Right. who was penicillin... Who was it who did that?
Pasteur.
Yeah?
I think it was Louis Pasteur. I don't know.
No. So there was a man who we think is called Louis Pasteur.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah. And he, you know how sometimes you might just put something down and like forget about it for a bit? You know, you go about, you're doing other things. And you've left something somewhere. You're like, oh, no, I meant to clean that up. But you forgot, right?
What's forgetting?
Forgetting is when you knew something, but you don't know it anymore.
So in the way that we're learning information now, if we were to unlearn that information.
That would mean that you forget the information.
Is forgetting a form of death?
I think in a beautiful sense, yes.
Because there was, with all of the information that myself and Andy have come to understand, there was a state before we knew that information. And if we can forget it, that means that there is a post-us understanding it state. So is the information dead before we understand it?
I think not all forgetting is death, but all death is forgetting.
Nice.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the invention of penicillin.
Anything you'd like to discuss in the remaining 1 minute and 12 seconds?
So it's basically he left this thing. He forgot about this thing.
Louis Pasteur.
Louis Theroux.
Louis Pasteur. Yeah. Forgot about something and it died.
No, it didn't die. But it turned out that the thing that he forgot about just by leaving it there, it was actually able to make other things dead, but stuff that you actually want to be dead.
So like the special baby.
Yeah. So if kind of, sure. So basically he left this stuff on its own and then realized, oh, it's turned into something that can make things that I don't like dead. Okay. And the things that he didn't like were called bacteria.
Okay, what's bacteria?
Right. Yeah. It's just bad stuff that he doesn't like.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. The things that Louis didn't like.
So we understand that Herod is bad.
Herod is an example of bad things, but not all bad things are Herod.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you there.
I think it was actually Alexander Fleming.
Oh, right, okay.
So Louis Pasteur.
Because I couldn't remember if he was the penicillin guy or the phone guy.
Well, if you hold on for a second, I think Andy can sum up the information that you've given us there.
Louis Pasteur put something down.
Yeah.
Meaning that it became dead to him, but not dead to itself. And it then... I don't know if I've invented this word or if I'm using it correctly or wrongly, begat other things, which were able to kill things that he didn't like.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ahir. That's very useful. There are so many things to understand and learn about. Lulu, in 3 minutes, could you tell me what a cigarette is?
Oh,
your time starting now.
Okay, so you know when I was talking about things growing out of the ground that they made food with?
Yes.
You can also grow things out of the ground that you put into your body in different ways, not just eating. So who smokes in any of those three things? None. Okay, so they put something from the ground called the tobacco plant, and they take it and they mash it up. Yeah, they mash it up. Yeah, all delicious.
they mash up a plant all delicious.
I've recently quit. And they put it in a little tube. Like, you remember the valves? You were talking about valves? That kind of shape. Yep.
Okay.
And then you put that in your mouth.
You put a valve in your mouth.
Yeah, and you take some fire, like the sun.
Yes.
And you put that at the other end of it.
Right.
And it catches on fire like all the houses in the Great Fire of London. But slowly.
We didn't even get to that, but wow.
Oh, no, so sorry to drop that bomb.
Just jumping back a bit, did that make London all delicious when that happened?
No, because it was the houses that... burnt. It was the wood houses, not the delicious ground mash.
But you said earlier that they burnt partly because somebody was making food. So surely they would have become delicious.
Well, the food is delicious up until the point that it gets too burnt, and then it's not anymore. And then the houses are separate from the food.
Right.
So they just get so hot, and like a cigarette goes in your mouth, and you suck on it.
You suck on it.
Like a Hoover, like the Hoover does in...
You suck on it like a Hoover?
Yeah, like the Hoover in the Teletubbies.
Uh-huh.
And then smoke comes out of your mouth.
What is smoke?
What is smoke? when King Herod...
Yes.
No, when Father Christmas...
Yes.
Right.
Visits down the chimney. Did we get to chimneys?
What's a chimney?
No, oh, we didn't get to chimneys. Sake. Okay. It's like a big. It's like air that's grey, like Father Christmas's beard. The colour of Father Christmas's beard.
Okay,
he's got a beard.
We've learned so much in it. So Father Christmas, who is someone who gives instruments to mariachi bands, he's got a beard, whatever that is, and it's grey, which is the same colour as a chimney.
No, the smoke that comes out of your mouth after you Hoover suck on the delicious ground mash.
Right.
Makes smoke, which is grey colour.
Right, it's like, grey air.
Yeah, grey air.
Grey air.
And people do it because, okay. Thank you.
So you've explained to us there, Lulu, that smoking is taking...
A cigarette,
which is something that smoking happens with. A cigarette is taking plants, making them all delicious and mashed up, putting them in a valve, and sucking on them until grey air comes out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lily. It's very useful.
I hear.
Yes.
Please, 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 can you explain to me what a dream catcher is?
In 3 minutes, starting now.
Okay. A dream catcher is, that's the thing that they put above, like people put above beds, right? Right, okay. So... Remember how Lulu was talking about if you want to sleep comfortably, then you get something called a bed from IKEA?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, imagine that you're in your bed and you're asleep. Have you been to sleep yet?
No.
Okay. So when you go to sleep, it's like when you're sleeping, it's like in your mind, you imagine stories.
You imagine stories when you're sleeping.
Stories like Father Christmas.
Stories like Father Christmas. Stories like of mice and men. Hmm. They just like you know you imagine these things.
Are the stories dead before you've imagined them?
It's your round. I don't know why you're looking at me for help.
be a dear mate.
What is a mate?
you shut your eyes and you think about Lenny and Carl.
Yeah, you shut your eyes, you think about Lenny and Carl, and you dream about that. So that's called a dream. The stories that you make up when you're asleep is called a dream.
Okay.
Right? Now, a dream catcher...
Can you tell us another story that you'd make up when you were asleep?
Yeah. So there can be one where all of the teeth, which are the little things in your face, fall out. There can be the one where you are flying, which is another thing that is different to a boat or a train, but another way of moving. That one's in the air, not the ground or the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the air. Where's the air?
The air is just sort of all around us. It's the thing that turns grey when you smoke a cigarette.
Okay. And you say that flying is like a boat or a train.
Yeah.
Do any good Herods jump out?
Good Herods?
Yeah. Good Herods.
Oh, right. To frighten you. Yeah. No. There aren't really ghost planes in the same way that there are ghost trains.
What do you think would happen if there were?
I think that after this, you and I are starting a business.
So we've got a rough idea of what dreams are. What is a dream catcher?
And then a dream catcher is another little object that you can put above the bed when you are dreaming. And people say that that can catch the dreams. And so you can see them again later.
Thank you, Ahia. there was quite a lot to sort of process in the last 20 seconds.
There. Yeah, but I'll sum up my understanding of a dream catcher as it is now is that it's something that you place above a bed, having got the bed from IKEA, and when you go to sleep. You start to make things up. You make up Lennies, you make up Carls. And if you have a dream catcher, then through some inscrutable mechanism, they become trapped in the dream catcher so that you can then see them later.
Precisely.
Perhaps on the Teletubby's stomach.
Yeah, is there a mechanism for transferring them from...
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, well, I look forward to that.
Thank you, Ahir. We are fascinated by people, and we are fascinated by people's behaviour. So we'd like to know more about the things people do. Lulu, in 3 minutes, could you tell me what I would be doing if I went on a cruise ship? Your time starting now.
Okay, so you remember the water boats that I was talking about before, the Mariachi Band? Yeah.
Mariachi Band.
Yes.
Well.
So cruise ship is a very big version of that.
How big?
As big as you like.
As big as you like. Okay, so like Tom Cruise,
yeah,
their size fluctuates based on an individual's on desire, feeling towards
yeah.
it.
Okay. You go...
They are the Tom Cruise of boats.
Oh, exactly that. You've nailed it. And you people go on them for fun, to have a good time.
Okay.
Travel from place to place. And you get things like music on, so like mariachi bands.
Right.
But other kinds of mariachi bands as well.
What are other kinds of mariachi bands?
So, you know, sometimes mariachi bands sing songs about La Cucaracha.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are other songs.
Wow.
What?
I'm sure also other ones that mariachi bands play, but I don't know any.
What are these other songs?
Well, they have a different kind of rhythm, which is how fast or slow something goes.
Okay.
Okay.
And people go on these cruise ships to meet other people, to play bingo.
What's bingo?
Okay. Yeah. Bingo is where numbers are on a piece of paper. Is there paper in anything?
What are numbers?
No, we've done numbers. We haven't we? Oh, God. Numbers are little squiggles you make on the paper, okay, little shapes. And if all your shapes get shouted by a man, you get given a gift, like a guitar to the mariachi
So you
band.
Become part of a mariachi
yeah,
band.
Yeah, exactly. And so people tend
so
to
bingo,
get caught.
So bingo is another process by which people become members of mariachi
yes,
bands.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've got Christmas and Father Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's one way of getting into a mariachi band.
Yeah.
And another way is bingo.
Yes.
So you explained that in 1666 there were very few mariachi bands, but given the number of different routes there are to the creation of mariachi bands, I'm a real sticking point for me is how there aren't more now.
I don't actually know when they started, but they
it must have been before 1666.
Yeah.
Why must it have?
Because every year somebody is given a guitar.
But not all guitars lead to mariachi bands. That's what I'm saying. There's other kinds of slow and fast music. La Cucaracha is one of many options.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lulu, in that time you've explained that going on a cruise ship is where people go on boats to watch mariachi...
Boats of fluctuating size.
Boats of fluctuating size to watch mariachi bands of fluctuating speed. And potentially
become
if a man screams out their shapes, they get to join a mariachi band.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lou. That's excellent. Smashing.
Thank you so much. Ahir, please, could you explain to me what cottaging is?
Your time starts now.
Okay. So, this is so the night time. That's when most people do sleep. You know, in the beds from IKEA where they make up the stories.
Is that where everything gets darker? Because I've seen that on the Teletubbies when Gandhi disappears.
Yeah. Yeah. So during that time period, some people like to go to sleep.
Okay.
But other people like to do all sorts of things during that time of day.
Okay.
Right? And another thing that people might like to do during that time of day is make new friends.
Make new friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make new friends. And there are all sorts of places where you can make new friends.
I think we already struggled with the concept of friendship.
Well, I think we understood that Lenny and Carl are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So imagine Lenny and Carl didn't know one another before, Okay, so just imagine this is a world in which they don't know each other.
One of Lenny or Carl knows very, very little, so I can imagine that.
Yeah.
So they didn't know each other. So at that point, their friendship was dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they didn't know each other at that point. But then they both meet at the same place one evening, and that could be a place called a park.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that's the sort of place, the green place, like in the Teletubbies, the green outside.
Okay. So Lenny and Carl will meet in a park, which is like the place where the Teletubbies are.
Yeah. At the night time.
Lovely.
And then they will decide that they are such good friends.
Right.
They meet each other and they're like, "You seem like a really great stand-up fella."
Mm-hmm.
And they will give each other a very special type of hug.
Okay. What makes the hug so special?
The hug is special because for both of them, it feels even more lovely than a normal hug might feel.
Okay. That feeling lovely,
mm-hmm.
Is that the same as believing in yourself?
It is. I do think that you have to have a certain level of self-belief to get into that sort of situation. I think that that's necessary. So, yeah.
Okay. So it enables you to see the sun more and feel the fire.
No, you don't want to be feeling the fire.
Okay. What sort of Lenny's and Carl's would meet in a park?
They could be any sort of Lenny's and Carl's. What do you mean? What sort?
Thank
of
you men? Very much.
There we go. Yeah.
So, <well-timed.
laughs> Andy, would you like to sum up what's been said then?
Absolutely. So, when it nighttime arrives, that's when Gandhi goes away and it becomes dark. Some people go to sleep. And others like to go to the park, which is somewhere much like where the Teletubbies live. I don't know whether this disturbs the Teletubbies or they don't mind. That wasn't explored. Anyway, they go there. A lot of Lennies and Carls go there, and they like to become friends with one another. Now, becoming friends with each other in this manner requires two things. It requires a lot of self-belief and engaging in a special hug.
That's bang on. You've got it. You've got it in one there.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ahir. There's an area of human experience that myself and Andy find incredibly fascinating, and that is the area of humour and jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu, I would like you to explain to me why the following joke is funny. These jokes are by someone called Rodney Dangerfield, whoever that is. So, Lulu, the joke I would like you to explain is, my psychiatrist told me I was crazy. I said I wanted a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. Please explain to me why that's funny in 3 minutes, starting now.
Okay. So, a psychiatrist is someone who looks after the way people think, what their thoughts are.
What stories they make.
Exactly. And whether their stories are real or made up too much, like the ones in the tubby screen. So the psychiatrist has said to a man, you're crazy, which means that your stories aren't really fitting in with reality, with what's actually happening. They're more like screen stories. And the
So a crazy person is someone who tells themselves too many not real stories.
That's one type of crazy.
Okay.
It's a broad church.
explain any other types?
Well, I care quite deeply about mental health awareness, so I think I won't at this juncture. but I will tell you why it's funny. So he says to him, he thinks it's crazy, and he says to his doctor, to the psychiatrist, I want a second opinion. That means I want some other information. And he's and meaning
is joke, it, is an opinion information.
It's information based on feelings.
Information based on feelings.
Yes,
that's an opinion.
Yes,
in this context.
In the yes, and well done on the word context.
Thank you. I picked that up from Ahir.
Yeah. So it's funny because he's saying, I'd like someone else to say what their opinion is. Mm-hmm. But here, it does something unexpected, and the opinion is you're ugly, rather than a different doctor saying you're crazy or not.
What is ugly?
Well, ugly is also an opinion.
It's something you're feeling.
Tom Cruise, some people think is ugly. Some people think is...
Who thinks that?
Not ugly.
Some people think Tom Cruise is ugly. His size fluctuates on the basis of people's feeling.
Yeah.
So the more that people feel about Tom Cruise, does he get uglier and bigger, or does he get smaller and less ugly?
It's purely a width thing.
It's purely a width thing. So he gets wider.
With a greater feeling of dislike.
Okay. How ugly would you have to think Tom Cruise is to make him really small?
Well, not at all. That's he's wide. He's wide on the ugly, and he's slender on the.
Okay.
Okay.
So Tom Cruise's ugliness has a direct correlation with his width.
Yeah, it's not. It's to do with how far he's stretched out on the screen. It's ugly is about how people look and whether someone likes it or not when they see it.
Okay.
Do you find the joke funny now?
I still don't understand what I
Thank you very much.
Okay. It's hot in here, isn't it?
Distill that one.
So, Lulu, in 3 minutes, you've told me that the reason the following joke is funny, my psychiatrist told me I was crazy. I said I wanted a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. The reason that that's funny is because a psychiatrist is someone who separates stories that are real from stories that are not real, and they have identified the person in this joke as having too many not real stories, and then that person has asked me, can you tell me something else that you're feeling? And what's funny about it is that that person has said that you're like the widest possible version of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lulu.
Wow. I hear. Please, can you explain to me why the following joke is funny? A girl phoned me the other day and said, come on over. There's nobody home. I went over. Nobody was home.
You've got 3 minutes starting now.
Right. So that's funny because the person telling the joke was told to go to a house.
We know what this is.
Yeah.
Tubby Mound.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, Tubby Mound, I've got a one-way ticket. Right. It was very happy.
So they were told to go to this.
They were told to go to Tubby Mound, and they were told to go there by someone they liked.
They liked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That they wanted to, and they thought that this person was saying, come to Tubby Mound, because they liked them as well.
Special hugs.
Right? And maybe there would be special hugs at Tubby Mound. Mm-hmm. Right? So this person believed, right, the story that they were telling themselves in their mind was, if I go to Tubby Mound, a person who I like is going to be there.
Right.
She also likes me.
Right.
And maybe... And there's no one else. And it would just be the two of us.
The Teletubbies have been removed.
The Teletubbies are out.
They've gone out.
Yeah.
They're near the wind turbine.
Yeah.
Is Nunu there?
No.
Okay.
Do we believe that Nunu counts as a person?
Well, that's sort of what I was implying.
Yeah.
Was because they said no body's home. Nunu is sentient, but I don't think a person.
Okay.
So they believed, you know, they thought that this was going to, everything was going to be nice. They were going to go to this other house and this person that they liked were going to be there. But instead, what they thought meant nobody other than me is home actually meant nobody whatsoever is home. So not only did they not get to see this person that they liked, but There's no. They're just standing in a doorway. They've not even got. There's no one.
Can't even get into the mound
to hang out with.
Okay.
How does the teller of the joke feel about this?
I think sad.
Why is that funny?
There's a thing in the world that people like to get, and that's called respect, right? Okay. It's when
is respect?
Respect is like when people think well of you and treat you.
They
nicely.
Want to give you a special hug.
They want not necessarily that well.
Okay,
but you know.
But there's a sliding scale.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there are some people in this world who don't get no respect. and they might say of themselves, I don't get no respect. They might even say it in that sort of accent.
They will say, I don't get no respect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Andy, would you like to...
there's a really beautiful bit of Norm Macdonald's book where he talks about going to the comedy store to watch Rodney Dangerfield. He's like, everyone's laughing at this guy, but I'm thinking, my God, this is heartbreaking. This is a grown man, and he never receives any respect. It's like this is how he's spilling his heart to you guys, and you're laughing in the face of this man?
Andy, could you please sum up what's been said there?
Yeah, sure. So in this joke, the teller of the joke has received some information from somebody who he likes. And he is under the mistaken impression that if he goes to their tubby mound, he will receive a special hug. Nunu is not there. Nobody is there. And when he arrives, not even the person who he was given to understand he would receive the special hug from is there. And that makes him sad. And sadness is something which can provoke humor. When it occurs to somebody who already doesn't get any respect.
Brilliant, thank you. Andy, at the end of all of that, who do you think has provided the most useful explanations?
Well, I've got to say, Alexander, it's very hard. But ultimately, given that Ahir's explanation of what transport is was extremely useful for understanding a lot of other things that we've covered, and Lulu's explanation of how Gandhi is the same as the sun was also very handy. Ultimately, I think I will have to say that Ahir's explanations were probably more helpful.
In this... I'm going to agree with you there, Andy. So,
are we friends now?
Is the point of this bit just to make me feel bad? What the fuck? I've turned up and done your fucking podcast.
What's a podcast?
Do you feel sad, Lulu?
Yes.
Do you feel that
feel
you have
like
not
turned
been
up to a tubby mound and no one's there to give me a special hug?
You've not been afforded any respect.
Okay. Should we laugh?
No, at this point, I feel it would be a pathetic kind of condescension.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your explanations, Lily.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves.
And is that a special hug?
Exactly.
How does one administer it to oneself?
And I hear, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, he doesn't remember anymore.
Oh. Ugh, gross. Good.
No.
Bye.
Oh, I quite like that one, actually.
No.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.